Hello, and welcome to the Written World Podcast. I'm Kylie.
And I'm Izzy, and today we're going to be talking about Stephen King's Carrie.
Heck yeah, it is October. The leaves are a-changin'. At least they are here on the East Coast. Sorry, Izzy. Spooky season is upon us, and we thought it only appropriate to fulfill the horror line on our 2022 reading challenge.
This is number 18, which is a Stephen King novel.
This was really targeted. This is the first Stephen King novel I've read. You've read quite a few, right?
No, this is also the first Stephen King novel that I've read to completion.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. That's so interesting. Oh, my gosh. How did both of us, both lifelong readers, get this far in our lives without ever... Dang.
Yeah, I typically, if I read horror, read gothic horror, so...
My friends were, like, super into Stephen King. And I was... There was never anything keeping me from reading it. I guess sometimes the books are, like... huge, and that's kind of intimidating, but yeah. I don't know, I just never picked one up. Alright, so, first time Stephen Kingers all around. Carrie is, Stephen King's first published novel. If you aren't aware of the story, despite the numerous film and musical adaptations, it's the story of a misfit named Carrie who is in high school and is relentlessly bullied by her classmates because she doesn't fit in. Her mom is very religious. She was raised in a very religious household, and in kind of keeping with her mom's demands, she really does not fit in with her classmates. She doesn't really have any friends, and she is relentlessly bullied. So much so that things start to happen around her when she's in these elevated states. Something theorized as telekinetic abilities. All in the confines of a suburban high school.
Yes, a very white suburban high school. I have comments later.
Noted. All right.
So what were your first impressions?
So I was trying to remember my first impressions, and I kind of don't, but like this was an early impression, at least, that it reminds me of The Rose Tattoo by Tennessee Williams, which is a play. And it's a play about a teenage girl and her very religious mother, who, it's different, you know, she's, like a Catholic woman from Sicily, the context is different, but, like, the relationship between the mom and the daughter and how it escalates and how it, interferes with the sort of coming of age and regular teenage occurrences was very, familiar, like, it really reminded me of that, and just, like, kind of the environment and overall vibe. It was like sad, nostalgic, not nostalgic, like melancholy, like you know, like you can pinpoint that person or like pinpoint that feeling, and that really kind of carried through the whole reading of the book for me. What about you?
It was exactly what I thought it would be, but also not. I'm struggling to articulate how I feel about this because my feelings are complex. I do think that it's written well, but I'm a little tired of like the demonizing female sexuality for no reason, and like this book attempts to kind of like get on the right side of that a little bit, but I feel like kind of fails miserably in a lot of ways. I expected the fact that like this young woman was written by a man who like stated in an interview that he put in his audiobook that that, you know, he'd never had any of these experiences, which is totally valid, and that's not to say that he didn't not write them well, but, yeah, That's all I have at the moment.
Where is it on the couldn't pick it up, couldn't put it down scale?
I feel like on like a, maybe like a 6 or a 7. I did find the story and its form to be really interesting and like compelling, where I wanted to know what happened next. But also from just the consumption of general media, I kind of knew what was going to happen at the end.
Yeah, I feel that. I think the like kind of knowing, you know, you've seen that Carrie Halloween costumes, you know, she ends up covered in pig's mm-hmm. blood. So like that did take some of the compelling nature out of it. But I also put it out of 6. I still felt like it was, you know, like it moved along. I wanted to know what happened next, but I wasn't like, it wasn't like I couldn't put it down when I needed to. I actually really did like the form it was written in. Which I guess like comes up a fair bit in horror. I don't know. I don't read a ton of horror, but I liked, so if you don't know, it's kind of told in different points of view from various characters, primarily Carrie, but also some of her classmates, and then also like in the form of a book that one of the classmates wrote years later, and a news story, and another news story, and letters written between two people who aren't really directly involved in the story. And it's almost like from an anthropological lens. And I really like that. I've read a few books like outside of the horror genre too that use those different points of view in different formats, and I really like the mixed media aspect of it. I like how it, I don't know, it makes you analyze how you're analyzing it. So that was, I liked that. What did you like?
Yeah, I really liked the form as well. Like, it was reminiscent of Bram Stoker's Dracula, which is also has, like, newspaper clippings and diary entries as part of the form.
That's so true.
So I thought that was really cool. I liked that we got Sue Snell's point of view as well as, like, her written account and then the written accounts from, like, these other people who weren't directly involved and how those sort of created this, like, unreliable, like, warped narrative surrounding what happened. And then we also get Carrie's point of view, though less frequently, which is really interesting.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess it's not as much from Carrie as I'm thinking, points of view. Yeah, anything else that you did like?
I did think that, like, the backstory of Carrie's mother was really compelling. I almost wish that there was more of it. Just because...
Give me a prequel.
Yeah, give me a prequel. Because a lot of the times her, like, religious fervor and, like, mistreatment of Carrie just seems sort of out of nowhere. So, I would have liked sort of some more commentary on the reasons maybe that she had felt that way or had been, like, suppressed in that way, and then how that translated to her treatment of her daughter. But, like, it seemed like her mom was really, Carrie's grandmother was, like, really, like, sexually open. So I liked her character, not as a person, she was terrible, but the exploration that happens and, like, the reveals at the end were really interesting.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would also like to see that explored some more. And I think that was kind of one of the very compelling parts of this book, like those hints of other stories that you got to peek into but didn't really get the whole thing. I think that really kept it going for me. I thought it was very well done, that the writing and what it captured was raw. Like, it made me uncomfortable, but I felt like it was supposed to. And there's a lot to say on this, but, like, portraying the sexuality of a teenage girl as a male writer is complicated and, like, it's a tricky subject. And I went into it thinking I would probably be bothered by it, and honestly, I don't really feel like that came into it for me. And, like, I was uncomfortable with it, but, like, not, I didn't feel like it had anything to do with it coming from a male point of view. It was supposed to make me uncomfortable, and it did. It accomplished what I think it was going for. And I felt a similar, I felt that rawness continued through a lot of the characters. which I thought a lot of the characterization was interesting. Especially the gym teacher, I thought it was very interesting how she had such sympathy for Carrie, but also understood the girls who had bullied her. And I felt like there was a lot of complexity in a lot of the characters, except for Chris. She was just mean. And that seemed like a cop-out. And also unnecessary. We didn't need someone who was just plain mean for no reason.
I feel like my issue with the writing is more surrounding Chris than it is surrounding Carrie. I do think that Carrie is written in such a manner that, like, can be read as empowering and, like, accurate to someone who's, like, been in this abusive relationship. I am annoyed by the fact that she falls into a lot of the tropes of, like, oh, deviant female sexuality, or, like, comes through this form of, like, monstrous power and then murdering in the end. But I do think that there's, like, this underlying tone of we need to treat people better despite their differences or despite what they've gone through kind of thing. But how far to that extent that it goes, I'm not really sure. Anyway, but my problem with Chris was just her sexuality was, like, depicted in such a way that was complex but problematic. I mean, I don't know how to, like, note that without being like, yeah, she was also in an abusive relationship with her boyfriend, and, you know, there's a lot about people who are in those relationships who still have affection for someone who's done, like, hurtful things to them. So, like, I get it. But also, like, she notes multiple times that, like, her boyfriend, like, would have raped her or, like, or would have assaulted her or that, or, and at one point he does. So, I think at that point as well, it became a little gratuitous and, like, wasn't really necessary overall other than to be like, okay, yeah, this mean person is also going through something hard. But in that same vein, I don't know how well that worked or if it was done well. Yeah, this is hard to articulate because, like, relationships are really complicated, especially abusive ones, and I don't want to ever be like, no, this is not what a real person's experience is like, because that's not true. But, like, but also, I don't know, at some point the trauma feels gratuitous or, like trauma porn, and I'm tired.
Fair enough. I feel like there's something to be said for the fact that this book is nearly 50 years old, which is insane.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know enough about the genre to say this definitively, but I think that a lot of the tropes it fits into were a little bit less jam-packed 50 years ago. Like, I think this was probably a little bit more cutting edge than it is for us reading it today through, like, a more modern lens. And, like, I don't think that makes the points that we're making irrelevant. But if we're looking at this as a product of its time, and, like, that's its own conversation, like,
yeah,
blah, 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 blah. But it's kind of like when we read House on Mango Street, mm-hmm, and we're like, well, this could have been written this year and it's old.
Right.
Like, it's old news. It's like, I've read a million things like this, but have we read a million things like this because this was the first or one of the first and it influenced a lot of things? So I guess that's where I am on that.
Yeah, because, like, fundamentally it's written well and it is a good book. And I do think that there is a lot of, like, themes, important themes that, and, like, importance in the way that women are portrayed that was, like, probably forward thinking for its time, at least in the horror genre. So it's just, like, reading it now where, like, I've seen horror that's done in a different way that's maybe more inclusive and empowering than that, that it's just kind of like, oh, okay. Additionally, I feel like the author tried to make a comment about, I think the author was trying to make a comment about racism in like small white town kind of vibe, because there was a lot of just like racist references for no reason, I think, and it was supposed to show the like unempathetic nature of these of some of these characters. But also, I don't know.
Yeah, it was almost like sprinkled in, and I wonder if it would have been. That like raises the question. Like, would it be better to not address it at all, and you would completely ignore it, or to just sprinkle it in a little bit if you're not going to make it a central part of the plot, which it's not
right. Really here. That's, I don't know, just because like it never got addressed directly either. It's right. It's so odd, because I feel like that generally is my like issue with this book, is like that it's good and it's well written, but like sometimes it borderlines between, was this really necessary, or like are you making a comment on mm-hmm. something? I feel like it's so short that it kind of floats the line sometimes into like problematic territory, but then like at one point are you writing something problematic as a means of like commenting on something problematic? So right. I don't know.
To kind of go back and mitigate what I said earlier, also we are very aware that in 1974 people did know that racism yeah. was bad, and they did know that like female sexuality shouldn't be demonized. Like, these things were not like absolutely unknown concepts. We just think about them differently than we did. Not completely differently. We think about them probably more. Like, you know, it's not like this was written in the Middle Ages, and we realize that.
But even like people in the Middle Ages have concepts of this stuff too. So like,
right.
It's all, I feel like that's where I get like hung up / annoyed at authors sometimes, where it's just like, okay, but like this is a concept we've known about for a really long time. Like, maybe we can get like do something actually constructive versus like, oh, I'm just gonna sprinkle this in here and pretend it's commentary. I don't know. I'm not saying that's what he's doing specifically, because we can't, you know, be like, hey, Stephen King, like, what were you thinking when you wrote this book and like did this thing? But I feel like generally, overall, when I read things that are maybe like written in the last 100 years, it's like, okay, guys, I think that maybe you thinking that you're a product of your time or whatever, and like not having the retrospective ability to like look at our history with like a real lens, means that you're just feeding into popular culture and into like the narrative our society tells us, which feels like the exact opposite of what you want to be doing as an author. So I don't know.
Being an author is mm-hmm. hard, you guys. Reading more books just shows me that. It's really hard.
And I definitely don't think that we should just, like, call it one thing when we don't know, you know? But just, like, a topic for discussion.
Right. Yeah, and that is why we are here on this mm-hmm. podcast today. If we just wanted to tell you if we liked a book or not, we could just share our Goodreads accounts.
Yes, we could.
And do a little thumbs up or thumbs down. Or we could make a 2-minute podcast. But that's not so fun. Is there anything else that bothered you that you'd like to discuss?
I feel like I've been talking too much. And no, I think that was it. Oh, wait. Sorry. Dirty pillows is a way to talk about boobs. Really? That's the best we could come up with?
Yeah.
What is inherently sexual about boobs?
Nothing.
They are sexy. Like, we love boobs. But, like, they're literally, like, mammary glands. They're common in so many mammals.
Yeah.
It's why we're called mammals.
Yeah. Yeah. That bordered on, like, absurd. Comical. I think that probably could have been done a little bit differently.
Like, I don't know. I get that, like, religious extremists are also kind of absurd, but, like,
I feel like they would go more for, like, demon stuff than dirty.
Yeah, or they'd be, like, more, I feel like they'd be more clinical about it than, like, be, like, ugh. Like, I had no idea that, like, Dirty Pillows was even talking about the boobs for a while. I was like, are you just, like, masturbating with a pillow? Is that what this is about? Because, like, that made no sense. Oh,
yeah. No.
Boobs. And I was like, okay. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of forgot about that, but you're so right. I wish that the listeners could see your face right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Normally it's having body parts, being, like, a retweet. Person with a sexuality, you know? Or not. Like, that's cool, too. But it shouldn't be
normalized being a person in a body.
Yeah, being a person in a body. I can see your dirty pillows. Like, what? What the fuck is that?
Yeah, that was, like, pretty cringe.
Yeah, which maybe is the point, but also.
Okay, just a very logistical note on this book and one of the major scenes. Carrie is in a group shower with her classmates after gym class. Also, my high school, nobody showered after gym class. It was, like, the showers were, like, a storage room. There were boxes and stuff in there. No one used them.
It was like that in my high school, too.
Really? Wow, universal mm-hmm. experience. Anyway, so Carrie is in the shower after gym class with all of her classmates, and all of a sudden she gets her period and she starts bleeding. And this is very much portrayed as, like, she's, like, gushing blood. Like, she thinks she's going to die. And we... Like, I personally just went along with this while I was reading it, but would like to point out that that's not really how it goes. It's not.
No.
Like, not especially at all. Your first period, you don't really just start, like, gushing blood. You might think you're gonna die if you see any blood, because that's scary shit. But
right.
You don't. So there's the man giveaway.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, there's the cis man giveaway. Like. I knew there was something.
We gotcha, like, Steve.
We gotcha. No. I was like, I feel when as I'm speaking that I'm being contrarian to be contrarian. And I, like, don't. That's not why I want to be contrarian. Like, I feel like there's actually something wrong. And, yeah, this is not, like, an attack on Stephen King or whatever. Like,
no.
Who cares? But
it's a horror novel. Like it's supposed to be bloody and stuff. But it is also a central theme.
About female sexuality and, like, body, like, female bodies. And, like, that's not how a period works. Like, she probably got a trickle at best.
Yeah.
Even when you're heavy in the shower, that's not...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know, how realistic is it that your classmates throw... pads and tampons at you?
No, that shit is expensive. Like, no one would be throwing them.
Well, I guess they do, like, remark there's, like, a broken dispenser in the gym. I think that was part of it. But also, like, I can't see every... I feel like that with, like, all things, all portrayals of bullying, especially from, like, the 70s and 80s, like, maybe it was that bad, and I believe it, and I'm sorry if you went through that, but no one in my school was that united against one person. There's a couple shitty people, a couple mean girls or guys or whoever, who would say something mean or diss you. But for the most part, people just would ignore you if they thought you were weird. They would walk away, they would separate themselves, they wouldn't include you. And that is definitely bullying, but it's different. It is not this.
Yeah. At times, the bullying, like... it fringed almost on the magical, where it was like, we don't know why we feel so compelled to do this. It's kind of like, okay, but, like, Carrie's telekinetic, bullying isn't telekinetic, you know? Like, bullying's not magic. Peer pressure isn't, like, out of your control. That's not how it works.
Bullying is not magic should be the name of the episode. Let's make stickers. Bullying.
Yeah.
Not magic.
Not magic.
Who, if anybody, would you recommend Carrie to?
People who are interested in horror as a genre. I mean, I feel like it's definitely one of the, like, pinnacle horror novels of, like, recent years. So, I feel like it also gives a lot of insight into the genre and what commentary maybe can look like, and also how it did look like and how it could look like today and how that might change. So
I basically said the same thing. If you like horror, if you are interested in it as a genre, if you liked The Rose Tattoo by Tennessee Williams, but you want something that's not a play and a little bit more modern, that's a very niche group of people. And also, I think that if you like the story aspect of Stephen King's work, but maybe less of the like gory horror parts that come up in it, this could be interesting to you, because obviously there is gore. We all know she gets covered in pig's blood. But, you know, the most of this is about the story. So if you're interested in characters, in that anthropological lens idea, in the story of a misfit, you might like this.
All right, Kylie, what are we reading next?
Oh, yeah. Okay, next up, we are reading House of Hunger by Alexis Henderson. This fulfills number 10 on our 2022 Reading Challenge, which is a 2022 publication. And we are both very excited about this one. We have another horror coming at you for Spooky Month.
This one's quick gothic.
Quick summary for you. Yes, this is a gothic horror.
Haha.
A young woman is drawn into the upper echelons of a society where blood is power in this dark and enthralling gothic novel from the author of The Year of the Witching. Marianne Shaw has been raised in the slums, where want and deprivation are all she knows. Despite longing to leave the city and its miseries, she has no real hope of escape until the day she spots a peculiar listing in the newspaper seeking a blood maid. Though she knows little about the far north, where wealthy nobles live in luxury and drink the blood of those in their service, Marianne applies to the position. In a matter of days, she finds herself the newest blood maid at the notorious House of Hunger. There, Marianne is swept into a world of dark debauchery. At the center of it all is Countess Lisavet. The countess who presides over this hedonistic court is loved and feared in equal measure. She takes special interest in Marianne. Lisavet is magnetic, and Marianne is eager to please her new mistress, but when she discovers that the ancient walls of the House of Hunger hide even older secrets, Marianne is thrust into a vicious game of cat and mouse. She'll need to learn the rules of her new home, and fast, or its halls will soon become her grave. Oh my gosh, I forgot how excited I was to read this. Like, I heard about it, and then I wrote it down and, like, knew vaguely what it was about, and now I'm excited all over again. Let's do this.
It's, like, clearly queer gothic horror in a spoopy house with secrets. I feel like someone read my mind and wrote a book, so.
And we also have a personalized book recommendation to provide
we
here today.
We do!
And this one is for none other than our lovely editor, Sophie Goad. Sophie has asked for, or Sophie said, I desperately need to get back into a reading groove. Maybe a rec for a book that'll pull me right in and be a fun, captivating read. You want to go first?
Hell yeah. Okay, my recommendation is Shirley Jackson's novel, We Have Always Lived in the Castle. It's one of my favorite books and one of the most enthralling books I've ever read. It pulls you in immediately and keeps you there right until the end. It's not very long, so it'll be good to bring you back into the reading speed, Sophie. And it's spoopy. I don't know if it's fun. I had fun while reading it, but, like, it's not the kind of, like, oh, this is campy and cute kind of fun. It's the, oh, I'm creeped out kind of fun.
Appropriate for this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have been meaning to read that one, actually. So that one's going on my list. Actually, someone asked me at a party last night for, like, a fun, light, like, not necessarily light, but, like, fun read. And I struggled to give them anything because I've been looking for one myself. I'm going through like all of my lists of things I plan to read, and it's all like deep, dark stuff, which I love. But sometimes I could use a little mood boost. I guess music is also good for that. But So this was fun to dive into this, because I found some that I want to read, but I'm not going to recommend those because I haven't read them yet, and I know I do that sometimes anyway, but I have good ones that I have read. So I want to recommend, it's a long title, Me Being Me is Exactly as Insane as You Being You by Todd Hasek Lowy. This book is told entirely in lists. So it's like long, like if you look at a copy of it, it's a thick book, but it's told entirely in lists, so it moves really fast. And it's about a boy, a teenage boy, taking an impulsive road trip after his dad reveals like a big secret. And so obviously there are some heavy, well, maybe not obviously, but there are some heavy themes in there. But for the most part, it's like, it's a fun coming of age book that moves really quickly. And I really enjoyed it. And then, just in case you want something entirely different, which I feel like the, I feel like We've Always Lived in the Castle is going to be the winner, but just in case, this is nonfiction, but it's John Green, and so that automatically makes it more swallowable, palatable than regular nonfiction. And that's The Anthropocene Review, which is John Green's recent memoir, I guess. It's a series of stories, in each of which he reviews something about the Anthropocene period, which is what we are in. And those things range from like the pandemic to Diet Dr. Pepper. So it's very, it will really bring you back into that time when we were all reading John Green when we were like 14. In a really great way. Like, there was a reason we all loved John Green so much. And this is really honest and witty, and I laughed out loud, I cried, and I feel like it could get you out of a rut. So, throwing that one out there too. All right. Anything else?
I would like to say that I've been, like, reading a lot lately, and I find that things that include lists are, like, genius. Really cool. I love a little inventory.
Yes, I make so many lists. I used to have notebooks just full of them, and now I have Notion, which is made for that. But that's, I think, why I picked up this book, and yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. So what are you reading right now?
I am reading No One Tells You This by Glynis McNichol, which is a memoir about, well, I mean, it's about Glynis, but so she's basically entering her 40s. She doesn't have kids or a partner. She doesn't particularly want them. She's kind of taking stock of her life and like realizing that all these milestones she set for herself weren't actually based on what she wanted, just based on what she thought was supposed to happen. And for the first time, she's kind of like, oh, what if I just pick something else? And so it's, the tagline for this book is, if the story doesn't end with marriage or a child, what then? And that drew me in right away. I think it's super interesting. And so far, it's been a fun ride. I'm about 30% into it. Yeah, what about you?
I'm reading two things. So I'm still reading The Sword of Destiny, which is the second book in the Witcher series. And then I'm reading New Pimming, The Cure for White Ladies by Leanne Bettismoke. I probably said that wrong. Simpson, so. Which is for school.
Anything fun to say about either of those?
Yeah. I talked a little bit about The Witcher last time, so we won't do that again. I think I'm about halfway through it. But it's in this fragmented form, talking about Indigenous life in Canada from the Anishinaabeg point of view. So it's really cool. It also includes really fun lists of like important items that the characters carry. And then there's this one main character, and then all of the other characters are aspects of them. So like their will or their conscious, and like it's really cool. Yeah, I haven't finished it yet, so I don't know. I'm going to finish it today because we're discussing it in class tomorrow, but it's really well worth it. And I think, yeah, the form is really cool. It's also a really thick book, but done in really small fragments. So it reads really fast.
That sounds so interesting. I bet you will have great discussions in class. All right, then I think that will about do it for today's episode of the Written World Podcast. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, yeah. Or I think you can do it on Spotify now or wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate it. It will help other people find us. And it's a nice thing to do. It's a little present you can give us. Yeah, all right. We will talk to you next time when we are talking about House of Hunger.
Yeah, get ready for some more spoopy.